Koinonia, a place of encounters with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Lift your hands and worship Him. Lift your hands, everyone, everywhere. Give Him all the praise. The mighty God. Go ahead and worship Him. Are you praying? King of kings, Lord of lords, faithful and true, Lamb of God, we worship you. King of kings, Lord of lords, faithful and true, Lamb of God, I worship you. King of kings, Lord of lords, faithful and true, Lamb of God. You're the Lamb of God. I worship you. You're the Lamb of God.
I worship you.
Elohim Adonai.
Elohim
Adonai. Sheba kaparuda tiga de balado. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Go ahead and bless him in the spirit. Ela salagadosa kaprandege de belekosia bahakada brandege de belakatosia. Mighty God. Consuming fire, sweet perfume, your awesome presence fills this place. Consuming fire, sweet perfume, your awesome presence
fills this room.
Consuming fire, sweet perfume, your awesome presence
fills
this room. Is holy ground. This is holy ground. This is holy ground.
This is holy ground.
Oh, come and bow. Mm. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the God of the heavens. My soul doth magnify the Lord. We extol you, King of the ages. Is someone worshiping? You came to stretch, to bow, to worship before the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of Zion. Let all that is within me worship your majesty. We worship, we join the 24 elders. We join the host of heaven and we shabak he who was, he who is, and the one to come. Thank you, Jesus. Fill this place, your Shekinah, the weightiness of your presence, manifest in our midst, the presence and the power that heals, the presence and the power that delivers, the presence and the power that lifts. To you be all the glory. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. In this place, great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord.
Great are you,
Lord. The Lord is speaking to someone, and in this atmosphere of worship, the Lord is giving me a prophetic word. I believe that this is for a number of people following and here. Remember not the former things. nor consider the things of old. For behold, the key word is behold. Don't worry about what I'm doing. I already told you the thoughts I think towards you. They are not thoughts of evil. The key word is behold. Can you take your eyes away from what you have been looking at? The disappointments, the failure, the news. The key word is behold. Remember not the former things. Behold. That is a prophetic word for you. Behold. Do you not see that I'm already doing something? Why are you dwelling in yesterday when I have moved into your tomorrow? This is what the Spirit of God is saying. No one makes progress dwelling in yesterday. Behold. Behold is a prophetic word for you. Behold with your spirit. Behold with the eyes of faith. Behold the healing. Behold the lifting. Behold the rising. Behold the dawning of a new season. Remember ye not the former things, nor consider the things of old. For behold, behold, regardless what I do, if you do not behold, you will not see. Behold, it takes faith to behold. It takes courage to behold. We're going to be seated shortly, but the Lord is healing people with blood diseases. This is what I'm seeing. Blood diseases of all sorts. Everything that has to do with blood infections, right in hospitals and even in this place, right now in the name of Jesus, in partnership with the Spirit of the Living God, we bring the life and the power and the healing that flows from His throne. Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Living God. We bring healing over blood conditions right now. Let genotypes change now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let sickly conditions change now. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord is bringing healing to a particular lady. You've started having symptoms of, it looks like a lump in your breast, but the devil has been ministering to you that this could be cancerous, and you've been thinking of cancer. You've been reading up on it, in fact. But right now, in the name of Jesus, we decree and declare that demonic lump leaves your body this instant. It leaves your body this instant. The Lord is ministering to me that He's bringing people into a season of financial release. I'm seeing people, there are all kinds of monies tied down in businesses, tied down. It looks like it is there, but it has not been able to reach you. In the name of Jesus, He said, loose that coat. And when they ask you, say, the master had need of it. Therefore, by prophecy, we lose that financial coat. The master had need of it. Let it be released to you right now. Please believe it. Let it be released to you right now. In the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the Living God. That you lose the colt, and when they ask you why you lose it, tell them it is because the master has need of it. For someone here is the prophetic word for you. You may not see the wind, you may not see the rain, yet I have spoken that your valley shall be filled with water. You may not see the wind. Don't ask how it will happen. Just as you do not know how bones are formed in the womb of her who is with child, nor the way of the wind, so also you do not know the ways of God. but let that miracle manifest all the same. In the name of Jesus Christ, it is by the power of the Holy Ghost. Please be sensitive. I'm not wasting your time, I assure you. Shalagosiata. There are two men of God here. The Lord is saying the season of pruning is coming to an end. This is what the Lord is saying. The season of pruning. You've been through very deep spiritual seasons of pruning. There is a birthing of something supernatural within your spirit. And God has been showing you that the mantle that is coming upon you by reason of the pruning is for the nations. It's not just for your church. It's not just for your local environment. It is for the nations. Therefore, I pray that you receive the stamina to stand the final days of your pruning. The stamina to stand the final moment before your glory is unveiled. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Pragatos keli de gabariaka egenes sendule hashene no hasigata barakatosia kadebrente gatusa sike de maldi na mahasiata prakate kete prakatos kadila kate brendi gedia brendo shalina kuriata ka prende kaskidi balata
my head is exalted like the horn of a unicorn, and I am anointed with fresh oil. My head, you are exalted like the horn of a unicorn.
Ah! Believe me, I'm just seeing a river flowing. This service tonight is bringing people into dimensions. Cubits are being measured in the spirit, and people are being pushed into deeper levels of the anointing. Let's just take a minute or two and allow the glory to just rest upon your life. Sometimes all you need to do is to just be silent in His presence and let that Shekinah rest upon you. When His glory comes, it comes to change. It comes to lift. Just stay in that glory. Let it change you. Let it build you. Sabrandegede belekatosa prahaska di belena kusha priata katos. Kalata prandege baruziata. It is not those who rush on God, it is those who wait. We must learn to wait. Sometimes we are in a hurry for everything, a hurry for miracles, a hurry for transformation. It is they that wait upon the Lord. There is power in waiting. There is power in waiting. It takes faith to wait. Let Him do the work He's doing. Go ahead. For some of you, there is a circumcision happening within your spirit. A cutting away of every limitation and every hindrance. There is that circumcision. Allow His Majesty move upon your life and move upon your destiny. One more minute. These are the mysteries of His presence. These are the mysteries of encounters. One is the law of waiting. You must wait. If you want to behold His power and His glory, you must learn to wait. There is healing when we wait. There is restoration when we wait. There is speed when we wait. There is revelation when we wait. There is empowerment when we wait. There is renewal when we wait. Thank you, Jesus, for your marvelous presence in the midst of your people.
We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. They are ancient words, ever true. Changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient word. I have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words
heart. Lord, we declare in the name of Jesus that tonight will indeed be one night that we will not forget in a hurry. We thank you for what you are already doing in our lives. This is what we get for trusting you. Enough to come before you with hearts broken, hearts humbled, hearts expectant. We pray in the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the living God, that no one here and no one following, no one connecting by faith will leave disappointed tonight. And we vow that whilst you transform, whilst you heal, whilst you deliver, we decree and declare that through our transformations, through our healings, through our deliverances, through the diverse manifestations of your presence, Jesus and Him alone will be enthroned, revealed, and glorified, even in our midst. For in Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Please be seated. Please be seated. God bless you. It's good to have everyone around. This does not always happen, but let me teach you something. Never frown at moments like this, where God just decides to move in the midst of His people and where you have the opportunity to soak in the glory. It will not happen for every service. But if and when it happens, do not fight it. There is something God is doing. It's good to be excellent. It's good to display a high level of leadership. But you must have the flexibility that when He comes, and in whatever manner He comes, you must be able to receive Him. When we become excessively rigid over the activity of the Holy Spirit, many times we lose out. You see, the way the Holy Spirit works, just play strings for me, thank you. The way the Holy Spirit works
is that when he comes into a place, just help those under the anointing, it is the honor that you give him through your patience, through your discernment, through the manifestation of faith that makes for the continuation of what he is doing. Just because he has come does not mean he will bless you. Where your resistance stops him is where he will honorably stop. It's why many people never dive into the deeper dimensions of the things of the spirit, because sometimes we are too calculated. This is the principle that many knew in the Bible, and even in modern history, there were times they would just come and soak in that glory and not even know the name of what they are doing. But when he's done, you will find out that the infirmities are no longer there. You will find out that the limitations are no longer there. Can I tell you this? When you spend 1 hour of quality time in his presence, it can give you 10 years of another man's desire. His presence has value always. Are we together? So don't you think this is just some Pentecostal thing or charismatic thing? Not at all. This is the Spirit of God responding to the hunger, responding to the desire, responding to the passion of God's people. In every assembly, in every ministry, in every gathering like this, there will always be people who are not serious with God. There will always be people who do not think God is a big deal. But I can assure you, there are always people who come before him with passion and hunger, as though they never have learned anything about the things of the Spirit. It is for such people, for their sake, God will not leave himself without a witness. Are we together? It is impossible to take God seriously, and these kinds of moments will not happen in your church, in your life, in your family. There will always be moments where you have prolonged times of fellowship and worship like this. Do not fight it. Even if you do not understand what God is doing, trust him. Sometimes we need to manage our minds and not let it interrupt what God is doing in our lives. If you want to walk with God just based on what you understand, your pace will be too slow. There are many times God will walk with you, it's 3 years later that you will understand what he did 3 years before. It's an act of faith to trust him and go all the way and let your mind catch up. Sometimes we become too scientific and philosophical in our walk with God. We want to understand the details of what God is doing. Except that sometimes his ways are past finding out. You can stretch your intelligence and yet not understand what God is doing. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I welcome everyone in the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the living God. And I particularly want to appreciate and honor all those who have traveled from outside of this nation. I do this not for the ritual, but just because sometimes my heart really goes out to the many people who travel from all across the globe, not for a special convention, for the services every week. And it takes a lot to travel from across Africa, from across the globe. People come, churches send their delegates, their pastors. We have people come from everywhere. It is impossible for you to just decide that you will get up and leave your nation and come to another place when you can pick up your phone and follow. You see that? It means that there is something there for you that God is sending you to receive. Is that true? And so I sincerely want to appreciate them. I may not have the time. A miracle service is next week, and usually we'll take that time to honor them. But just to, aside from dear men of God that I would appreciate shortly, I want to appreciate, if you are here, whether here or in the overflow, and you came from outside Nigeria, please stand just for us to honor you. Please stand wherever you are. Let's celebrate them.
Let's celebrate them. Inside, all of the overflows. Outside, God bless you. And those who are connecting from outside of this place, we love you. We sincerely appreciate you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Where are the delegates from Canada? Are they here? The pastor who came with delegates from Canada, please find out. Let me know. Let me be sure that... Okay, they are yet to arrive. Okay, that's fine. Praise God. I know a pastor and, I mean, some delegates, a number of them all the way from Canada. You know, they just indicated that they were on their way coming just to come and fellowship and to contact this grace. You see, when God begins to honor and help you like this, two things very quickly. One, beware of pride. There is absolutely nothing in us outside of the mercy and the help of God. And then number two, you must be able to take the love and the commitment of God's people as a trust that you must not betray. You must make sure they do not spend so much resources, time, energy, and then come to your assembly and then you waste their time and share the grace. It is very unfair. In fact, it is evil. It is my covenant with God that no one would ever come for any service, regardless what service, and then go back the same. No. So thank you so much for making the time to come. May the Lord bless you. I pray that your coming will be most profitable for you. You have our blessings and you have our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let me honor and celebrate. Please be seated. Thank you. Let me honor and celebrate two great men of God in our midst. One is a dear friend and brother, Reverend Dr. Paul Mbwagbo, all the way from Cameroon. Thank you. Thank you so much. I love you, sir. It was his church and that hosted me in Cameroon last year. It was such a phenomenal time. Thank you. Thank you so much. And then we have another great, wonderful man of God all the way from Côte d'Ivoire, Reverend Ralph Wafo. Thank you. Thank you so much. The Lord bless you, sir, in the name of Jesus Christ. And for every minister of the gospel here, doesn't matter whether you are in the main auditorium or outside, the Lord bless you. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Father, give me an encounter tonight in the name of Jesus. Please lift your voice and pray. Give me an encounter even by your spirit. Give me an encounter by your spirit that will change my life forever. In Jesus' name, I pray. Hallelujah. Commanding the Supernatural, Part 2. We are wrapping up a series that we started last week on the supernatural, helping believers to understand the necessity for walking in the supernatural and the demands, what it takes to command the supernatural. Part 1, we looked at the dynamics of faith as the first key to releasing the supernatural. And then, for tonight, Part 2, we're going to be looking at engaging the anointing. Please pay attention, let your spirit be open. I'll be teaching us on the dynamics of the anointing. So we agreed last week that when it has to do with commanding the supernatural, it is an interplay between faith and the anointing. That there is a role that faith has to play as far as commanding the supernatural is concerned, and there is a role that the anointing has to play. For a very long time in the body of Christ, it seems as though there's been a great divide and even confusion as to how these spiritual forces operate in producing miracles and the manifestation of the supernatural. On one hand, we have people who are, in quotes, faith people, and there is nothing else they are interested in. All they know is just faith. The moment faith is in place, everything is in place. Then we have especially the charismatics who believe that it is about the anointing. It has nothing to do with faith.
once the power of God is not present, doesn't matter what you are speaking, doesn't matter what you are saying. And for a long time there has been arguments and even misunderstandings across this divide. I think I've said it here and I will repeat it again, that the dynamics of faith and even engaging the anointing, all of these forces were supposed to work together to produce the supernatural. There is nowhere in the Bible where you are given the liberty to choose whether you want faith or you want the anointing. It's like choosing whether you want fuel or you want tires in your car. Which one do you think is important as far as movement is concerned? If you have healthy tires that are alive and you do not have fuel, the car will not move. But then if you have fuel, full tank, your gas is, your tank is full, and your car does not have tires, it will not move also. So you can see that they are very, very important. And my assignment tonight, as we wrap up this series, is to open up our eyes to understand the how to engage the anointing. Many believers continue to live defeated lives because they do not understand how faith works. We looked at that. Please do well to get the teachings. And then now we are looking at the dynamics or engaging the anointing. Last week we laid a very important foundation that I want us to not forget. How that in this kingdom, every time we talk about the supernatural and we talk about results, you must understand the motivation behind our desire for results. Please look up. It is very important that we put this in place and in perspective when dealing with subjects of the supernatural. Why do we need results in our lives? Why do we need to see the manifest power of God in our lives? I told us that results are also evangelists. That there is a kind of evangelism only results can do. Is that true? There is a sermon that our territory is waiting for. And the preacher is not a human vessel. The preacher is the testimony, the results, the workings of the power of God. That we are not the only ones who are preaching, that our results can also preach. Is that true? And when we do not produce results, we stop our territories from hearing the message that can save them. Results are very important. John 15 and verse 8. Jesus himself was teaching and he said, hearing is our Father glorified. That ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. When you read verse 16 of the same scripture, 16, he said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. It is important for believers to command results. It is important that our Christian adventures produce fruits and results that compel all and sundry to know that number one, Jesus is alive, and number two, that he is dependable. I would always say this, especially during the miracle services, that every time you receive a miracle, you receive a testimony from God. You must understand that every testimony comes with a letter from God to you. Three things captured in that letter. Number one, the message of love. In every manifestation of the supernatural, Jesus through it is saying, I love you. I have loved you with an everlasting love and I have drawn you with my loving kindness. Number two, in every miracle and every manifestation of the supernatural, please pay attention. Jesus is saying through it that I am dependable. God is dependable. That means you can know you are safe trusting him. And then number three, when miracles and supernatural occurrences happen, written in that letter is I am almighty. You have to discern the supernatural. Every time you receive a testimony, every time things begin to work for you, don't just enjoy the miracles, don't just enjoy the manifestations. You must discern what God through those things is saying to you. Number one, the message of love. Number two, a charge that God can be trusted. And then number three, that He is Almighty, reminding you again that He is not just mighty, He is Almighty. We looked at the dynamics of faith, exploring how faith works. I told us that according to scripture, the equation is that it comes by grace and then it is through faith. And we got to examine faith, that Bible faith is the name given to the action that you take based on your conviction of who God is and the integrity of His word. We did say that Bible faith is predicated upon two foundations. Number one, the integrity of God, that God is dependable. Number two, the ability of God. Please do not forget this. If it is Bible faith you want to manifest, it is predicated upon two factors. One, the integrity of God, that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Are we together? And then that number two, God has all power. Once have I spoken, twice have you heard that all power belongs to God. Not God and Satan, not God and men. It is exclusively that of God. That every time men seem to walk in dominion, that their dominion in this kingdom is shared dominion, not absolute dominion. We were made partakers. It's not a life that we have on our own. Are we together? And then we discussed a few things that would help us walk in faith. So now we'll discuss the anointing. I have, by the privilege of God's grace, I've had the honor of studying and teaching the subject of the power of God and the anointing for many years. And you would think that after teaching this for so many years, I would have exhausted everything to be known about the anointing. And that is not true. One of the ways you know that something comes from God is that inability to exhaust the riches in it that is in God will also follow His thoughts and whatever it is that is of God. You can never truly exhaust everything about the anointing, about faith. It is layer after layer. When you are done with one layer, God will honor you by unveiling another layer of that spiritual reality. We need the anointing, especially the times that we live in. Psalm 92 and verse 10. Psalm 92 and verse 10. Let's begin our teaching now. Please pay attention. And then, like we are already experiencing, please be sensitive, because every time you teach on the anointing, the Spirit of the Living God has the assignment to bring confirmation to the things that are being taught. So it is not unusual. I know you know that by now. When there are manifestations of the Spirit while the Word is coming, you just focus on the Word and make sure that you have understanding. 92 verse 10. Can we read together? One, two, read. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. And I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. The Bible tells us to look up to Jesus. So theologically speaking, Jesus is our pattern man. He represents perfect theology. That means Jesus was approved of God to be the reference. Every believer who wants to attain unto stature and growth in the Spirit, the Bible mandates that you look primarily, you look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You understudy His life and the way that He lived, and you can glean wisdom and follow that spiritual pathway to a life of excellence and a life of glory. The Bible talks about Jesus who, although was the Word, He came as the Word incarnate through the womb of a young virgin called Mary. And the Bible lets us know that at age 12, Jesus was about the temple learning. He said, shouldn't you know that I should be about my Father's business? Are we together?
By the time he is 30, we see Jesus coming to Jordan to be baptized of John, who was a prophet. We call him the Baptist. John baptizes Jesus and he comes out of the water, and the Bible says the heavens were opened and he saw the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus in the similitude of a dove, and a voice spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son." Are we Bible students? "In whom I am well pleased." He said, "Hear ye him." And then, as we'll be reading later on, the Bible says the Spirit of God immediately drove him to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He was there fasting and praying 40 days and 40 nights, and having, you know, triumphed over the temptations of Satan, the Bible records that he returned in the power of the Spirit. And there began the ministry of signs and wonders, the ministry of the supernatural that would not end, culminated even in his resurrection and his exaltation at the right hand of the Father. So he became for us a template and a pattern man to study the dynamics of walking in the anointing. What is the anointing? We talk a lot about the anointing. Preachers want to be anointed. Business people want to be anointed. Career people want to be anointed. There is such an obsession for the anointing, and there's nothing wrong with that. We need to be anointed. It is my considered opinion that the anointing oil serves more for impartation than even cooking in Africa. I think so. I may be wrong, but I think so. That chances are excellent that if you see someone buying an anointing oil, it hardly will be for the kitchen. That's to tell you how much we believe in the anointing. It's not mockery. Are you getting what I'm saying now? I'm just showing you how determined we are to make sure the anointing is within our reach. But it seems as though, regardless all the oil that we have in our bottles and the ones we have through different mediums, and right now, sadly, in Africa, we've invented a lot of things, largely extra-biblical strategies to bring the anointing. But it's a sincere desire for God's people, from God's people, to bring the anointing within their reach. Somehow we have read through scripture and we have seen through the lives of a few people who seem to have been marvelously anointed by God. We have seen the possibilities that have come from their lives, be it in ministry, be it in business. When you see a man of God who is doing something very extraordinary and very supernatural, you most likely will say that man is heavily anointed. You may not say that man is full of faith. Subconsciously, we have connected the anointing to supernatural, extraordinary manifestations. Is that true? Yeah. Manifestations like healings, deliverances, you know, impartations of the Spirit, supernatural prosperity, influence, anything that moves above and beyond the scope of science and may not seem to go through the normal law of process or the course of nature. Usually it attracts us, and we credit that manifestation to the presence of the anointing. What then is the anointing? The anointing, the whole essence, please look up. I've taught it here, and let me just repeat it for the sake of this series. The idea of being anointed from ancient times, the context is to be smeared with oil, but the idea of being anointed is to legitimize an operation. So when we say an individual is anointed, what we mean is that you have been authorized. To be anointed means to be authorized to do whatever you are doing. To be anointed means to be empowered to do whatever it is you are doing. Are we together? To anoint means to legitimize an operation so that both the earth and the realm of the spirit no longer considers you to do it illegally. So when the Bible talks about being anointed, it is an ordination. That really is the essence of ordination, to legitimize an operation. Are we together now? So, in its purest form, the anointing has nothing to do with oil. You see, most times, and now sadly, when believers don't have the requisite spiritual knowledge,
and we get them into all these rituals of oil and the rest, it turns into, it almost becomes witchcraft sometimes. All of those mediums only find their credence if and when the believer has an understanding of what he is doing. To be anointed has nothing to do with oil, necessarily. To be anointed has nothing to do with a handkerchief, a mantle, some medium. I'm not saying those things are wrong. But the essence of being anointed is to empower you to do or to become, and then to legitimize your operation. Are we together? What is the anointing? The anointing is God's ability. Please write it down. You have to know the owner of that ability. It matters to know that the ability belongs to God. The anointing is not just ability. The anointing is God's ability. Because there are many other kinds of abilities routed through. There are abilities that seem to come from demons and come from wherever. But God's ability at work in a human or material vessel. Please write it down. The anointing is God's ability at work in a human or material vessel to accomplish his purposes and to produce extraordinary results. I'll take it again. The anointing is God's ability at work in a human or material vessel to accomplish his purposes and to produce extraordinary results. So the ability belongs to God, even whilst we take advantage of that ability. God's ability at work in a human vessel or any material vessel. And then the intent, the goal of that anointing is to empower and to help that individual to accomplish God's purposes and then to produce extraordinary results. A very fair definition of the anointing. So immediately that tells you that that empowerment, that legitimization comes from God and belongs to Him. Now the challenge with many people is when it because of the seeming autonomy and liberty that happens in the presence of the anointing, you find out that people misuse the anointing because I can walk in the flesh. I may want to make a name for myself right now. And I can tell you there's someone here, the power of God will come on, and you will be shocked to see that it will happen. But you will have to vet it from the lens of God's desire to know whether he was the one who directed that or it was just flesh. Are you seeing that now? Just because it happened did not necessarily mean it accomplished the purposes of God. This is where the abuse of the anointing comes. When I become a recipient of the anointing, it is within my power to misuse it. Are we together? And many sadly have misused the anointing for the gratification of the flesh. Many have misused the anointing for financial gains. Many have misused the anointing for all kinds of reasons. So the anointing is God's ability at work in a human or a material vessel to accomplish his purposes and to produce extraordinary or supernatural results. I don't need to go into the subject of results. We already settled that last week. And I pray that by now, you see that if your Christian experience is barren of results, Jesus Christ will never truly be glorified in your life. I hope we're done with that. I'm sure that we've settled that already. That in our lives manifesting extraordinary results, Jesus is glorified. And we the saints also are glorified. John 17 and verse 1, the prayer of Jesus. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy son, that thy son may glorify thee. So two people are being glorified here. The son is glorified, the father is glorified. Hallelujah. It is very important to understand this subject of the anointing. I have had the honor and the privilege of talking, praying with so many ministers of the gospel through the years. And most times, because of the privilege of what God has done and continues to do in and through my life, when I meet ministers, usually the prayer all they want is an impartation of grace. They will tell you sincerely, Apostle, I'm not getting this result. I'm not getting that result. I don't know why it's like that. I just need that engracing. So, subconsciously, most people know that every time your life is barren of results, in addition to the principles you may learn, there has to be an engracing upon you to produce those possibilities. I have said it and I will repeat myself here in Koinonia. Please listen to me. As a human being unassisted by any spiritual agency, there is only so much you can do. There is a certain degree of results. There is a threshold of results and manifestation of possibilities that when you cross, it tells men that you are no longer alone. There has to be a spirit agency that is assisting you. Are we together? Whether in business, whether in ministry, it is impossible as a human being unassisted to produce certain dimensions of results. It cannot happen. This is very important. Now, listen very carefully. Why do we need the anointing? Let's answer the question why. This also tells you there are two primary assignments of the anointing. And I want you to understand this. They may not be the only ones, but according to my study of scripture and even in my experience and the experience of so many who have been given unusual access to the anointing, we learn that the anointing is useful in the life of the believer for two principal reasons. Number one, the anointing empowers the believer to subdue the forces of darkness that fight against our destinies and against the advancement of the kingdom. Why do we need the anointing? Number one, the anointing empowers the believer to subdue. The anointing empowers the believer to subdue the forces of darkness fighting against our destinies and against the advancement of the kingdom. So the first assignment of the anointing is to provide empowerment to subdue the forces of darkness fighting against our destinies and the advancement of the kingdom. Is Satan fighting your destiny and my destiny? Absolutely. How long? For as long as you will be alive. Are we together? Psalm 66 and verse 3, it has become an anthem in this ministry. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in your ways? It says, through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves unto you. Is God's servant Bishop David Oyedepo who would say that the only language Satan understands is the language of power? And he's right. Satan does not understand English, does not understand French. Satan does not understand negotiation. The only thing he understands is power. Ask Israel in Egypt. 9 plagues, and Satan through Pharaoh would not let them go. But one last plague, and it compelled him to let them go. So the anointing addresses Satan. Now it's very, very important for you to understand this. You see, Satan is spirit. Satan is not flesh. It is not only God who is spirit alone. Satan is also spirit. Do you know what that means? You cannot arrest him. Number two, you can't take him to a court. Number three, the military cannot help you fight him. Number four, you cannot set him on fire. All the things you do to men to find peace, you cannot do with him. Satan is spirit. The angels, the fallen angels, and all the demons and the cohorts of hell, they are spirits. Even though their damage is not spiritual alone. Their damage starts from the realm of the spirit, but it has a physical expression in your life. When the devil plants sickness in your body, it can start from a dream, but it will not end as a dream. It will manifest physically
and you will see the injury, you will see the pain. When Satan programs disfavor upon a believer, it can start from the realm of the spirit, but you will shockingly see it manifest physically. Are we together? So it takes the anointing to be able to subdue the forces of darkness. Let me tell you this. Do you know, every time you stand before God's people, please look up, to make an altar call, I want you to know that we are not the only ones who are seeing you. Angels are witnesses to that salvation, that prayer. Demons are also witnesses. From the day you declare the lordship of Jesus Christ, an intentional line has been drawn between you and Satan for the rest of your life, whether you are alive, except you die. But provided you are alive, Satan is interested in you. Apostle, who did I offend? That's not the issue. When you were saying, Jesus, I love you, you are a potential threat to the kingdom of darkness. Satan does not give you a chance to grow before he attacks you. He knows what the life of God is, and he knows what you receive, even though you don't know it. You may trivialize what you receive, but Satan understands the implication of being saved. In fact, Satan does not even wait for you to be saved. The moment you are born, if you are born and you appear just with a spirit, he won't really bother you because you don't have the legitimate ground to function on the earth. But the moment you manifest with this material body, you are already a potential threat. That's why you read in the Bible, Satan killed children. He didn't even give them a chance to grow. Are we learning? Why do we need the anointing? So that we can have that empowerment to subdue the forces of darkness, fighting against our destinies and fighting against the advancement of the kingdom. It was Jesus that was speaking, and he said, right from the days of John the Baptist, he says the kingdom suffered violence, and he said the violent will take it by force. Are we together? The Bible did not leave us in the dark as to the fact that the whole world lies in wickedness. It is true. When you leave Satan unhindered, he will kill everything he can kill. He will steal everything he can steal. He will destroy everything he can destroy. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Satan's tripartite signature. The moment, if you are unsure who is around, verify it with these tripartite activities. If Satan comes, he will never leave you the way he met you. He must steal something. If Satan comes and passes you and you are alone, except God helps you or intercession saves you, or it's not him. But if it is Satan, you know, there are people called pick. There are these boys that are experts in stealing. They can lift their hands and still steal. Praise God. They can pass you with their hands lifted and yet something will still be missing. And it's not diabolism. How they... Praise the name of the Lord. So Satan is like that. He can pass through your finances. He can pass through your marriage. He can pass through the life of your children. He can pass through your spiritual life. He can pass through your destiny. He can pass through a church. He can pass through a ministry. He can pass through the life of a man of God. You know it is him because something must be stolen. Something must seem to die. Something must seem to be destroyed. Someone shout, no way. Shout it again. Say, no way. Because for some of you, before now, you've not seen the necessity for the anointing. And Satan keeps camping you around that mindset and say, are you an apostle? No. Are you a prophet? No. Are you not just a businessman? Don't mind them. He's cheating you. Let me just advise you right now. Especially because of this end times. The condition for being anointed is that you are alive. The moment you are alive, just know that Satan will come to you. If he has not come, the messengers are on their way. But through the greatness of thy power, shall thy enemies submit themselves. Let me prophesy to someone that any force that has refused to let you go, in the name of Jesus and by the power that raised Christ from the dead, it must give up on you finally. Please sit down. Hear me. Your business will not just grow. Your children will not just be responsible people. The ministry will not just grow. Your political career will not just flourish. There is a devil who is determined to make sure everything God in your life dies. Are we together? It will tear your relationship between you and your wife, tear your relationship between you and your children, destroy your finances until he reduces you to ashes. Mess up your ministry until you become a testimony of pain and shame. Satan for you. When he does it, he will sign it. Like Julius Berger will build and write, sign.
Everything that was lost shall be returned unto you. Everything that was stolen shall be restored unto you. Everything that was lost shall be returned unto me. Everything that was stolen.
What makes you believe Satan will fold his arms and what you promoted? You think he does not know what your influence will do to the kingdom? Man of God, what makes you believe that Satan will sit down and allow you to continue to be a rising voice? You think he does not know what your voice will do to your territory? Oh, Zechariah and Elizabeth, it's not about barrenness, it's about John, who will anoint Jesus. There are many battles today that many of you are fighting that has nothing to do with you. It is because of something that will come out from you. Listen, when you see Satan fighting your family, what is finance? Does he eat naira and kobo and dollars? He knows that with that empowerment, you will send your son to a mission school. And in that mission school, one day a prophet or apostle will visit that school. He will have an encounter and he will find his purpose and become a mighty man of God. So he will make sure that school fees never enters your hand. Help that woman, please. I can tell you firsthand, every time you see the devil around your life, he's not there to advise you. He's not there to counsel you. He's there to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Help that lady, please.
Listen, can I be honest with you? I have seen many demon spirits in my life. I'm not telling you what I just read in scripture. If you ever see men excelling in spite of Satan, something is keeping him. You don't want, listen to me. For thousands of years of Satan as a defeated foe, he has still not given up on fighting God. You have to understand the person you are dealing with. You will think after the millions of years of his rebellion, he should just give up one day. Satan is as determined today as he was when he left heaven. What kind of a creature is that? Even some of the Capons, some of the armed robbers, some of the terrorists, they got to a point where they were broken like children. Have you ever seen Satan repenting? Have you ever seen his picture on his knees saying, God, just punish me, but I'm ready for peace? Most people do not know the person they are dealing with. If you think oppressing you for 30 years will make Satan say it's enough, think again. Apostle, he has tied down my ministry for 5 years. One day go better. Satan, go and read your Bible. A man who was thrown from heaven, and after millions of years, he is still determined to thwart the purposes of God. If there is anything to learn from Satan, it's determination. Can I tell you? You were born in the middle of an old story that has nothing to do with you. But simply because you found yourself in that space called the earth, you better find out the rules of engagement. Otherwise, you will find out that your life will become a casualty that you know nothing about. I remember years ago, a gentleman, true story, the moment he became 13, someone slapped him in his dream. 13 years. And when he came and met me and he was talking, you know, a little boy was in one of the schools then in Zaria and all of that. And he came, those times I used to just see them, and he was telling me that somebody slapped him. Do you know, true story, when he was talking to his father, the father said, describe who slapped you. And that was exactly what happened to the father. I don't know if it was around that time, but at least as a teenager. You know what the spirit was saying? Welcome to a battle that your being part of this bloodline has forced you. You must be interested in what you are dealing with. Are we together? Why do we need the anointing? Because there is a real devil. There are real spirits. Mother, the devil will not fold his arms and watch your 5, 10, 8 children rise up to become responsible people. No. His joy is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You would think if you start crying once, Satan will pity you. Find out who he is. There are people crying in hell. If he's to pity anybody, he will start with them, not you. I don't know about you, but for me, I've made up my mind. As a covenant with God, I have no negotiation with Satan. There are no discussions. Every time me and he meet, he already knows. I'm saying this because some of you have allowed the devil to lie to you. You are a woman. Don't get into these spiritual things. Some of you, you are a man. Some of you, you are not a prayer warrior. You don't let the devil keep deceiving you and destroy your life. Let me tell you this. See, when Satan wants to destroy a family, his first target is the strongest person spiritually. I'm giving you spiritual intelligence. He is not stupid. He will afflict with sickness. He will afflict with pain. He will afflict with frustration. So that when you go down spiritually, that hindrance has cleared the way. He will now settle down and attack. Someone blast in the spirit in 1 minute. Not my destiny. In the name of Jesus. Help those under the anointing. In Jesus' name. Please sit down. Let me tell you something. Please listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. I will not go ahead of myself. There is a separate series on deliverance. That one will announce it and I will settle down and teach you. But can I tell you this? I don't mean to scare you, but Africa, listen to me. If you are a firstborn, listen to me. If you are a first male, listen to me. If you are a last child, listen to me. If you are a breadwinner, listen to me. If you are the one who lifts up the head of your family, listen to me. Satan, he attacks, but there is a protocol to the attack. So much ignorance in the body of Christ. Listen, please look up. Look up. I want you to pay attention. Don't you think I'm wasting your time? If you are the first to be educated, the first for your head to be lifted in your family, go and read the Bible about the law of firstborns. Not just the first to come out of the womb. The first to do anything in life. Do you know why? Because the first of anything is the seed and the pattern. The first to open a door for a family is the first to create the pattern. The first to break out of poverty. You think the devil will fold his arms and watch you? Shanekate Sadebakata.
the first man of God from your village, the first man of God from your family, the first professor, the first married man, the first married woman.
Praise God. Please sit down. Let me try to organize myself this night. Just help those under the anointing. I tell you, God is doing many things as I'm speaking. You came to church. This is Koinonia. No waste of your time at all. Hear me. Hear me. Hear me. Let me tell you one of the ways that Satan moves. It's called the power of patterns. You know what patterns are? Patterns are repetitive occurrences. You find out, God forbid, don't feel bad. Your grandmother was raped. Your mother was raped. Your daughter was raped. They never shared it with themselves. Yet the pattern will find itself again. Somebody spent 10 years in America, returned back to Nigeria like an armed robber. Another person spent 10 years in US or in London, returned back. All those things are patterns. Let me tell you what patterns are. Patterns are sponsored by altars. Even if the initiators of the altars go, the altars are still valid. They will speak. That is the reason why you see nations go through patterns. Regions go through patterns. Individuals go through patterns. Families go through patterns. Even ministries go through patterns. The anointing is not for preachers. Not the end time anointing. The anointing is not just for men of God. The anointing is not just for adults. Help that person, please. I have seen wickedness in the lives of people. I have seen Satan destabilize the joy and the peace of families. I've seen great men of God with potentials to do things for the kingdom, but Satan just brought them down. I've seen business people who would have been the crown of their regions. Can I tell you the truth? Believe me when I tell you, Satan is not a friend. Learn from his rebellion and his unbendedness. Satan has never told God sorry. He will never tell man sorry. Just believe that about him. So when Satan comes around your life and acts like a friend, beware of what you are playing with. You are not just playing with fire. Satan is every other thing, but he's not stupid and he's not foolish. He has an advantage of age and he's using it well. Please sit down. Why do we need the anointing? To empower the believer to subdue the forces of darkness, fighting against our destinies and fighting against the advancement of the kingdom. Number two, why do we need the anointing? The second reason why we need the anointing is so that we can tap into the dimension of supernatural possibilities. Why do we need the anointing? To empower us to tap into the dimension of supernatural possibilities. Results and possibilities that are beyond the realm and the scope of humans. In ministry, in business, in politics. You think Daniel became an extraordinary politician in a harsh climate just because he could speak good English? No. Even the people consulted through divination and they found out that the spirit of God, they called it the gods, was upon him. They knew that this man was not ordinary. And through the dispensation of three or four kings, he still remained on top. Why do we need the anointing? To empower us to manifest dimensions
of supernatural possibilities. I made up my mind as a person and as a man of God that I will never be ordinary, that my life and everything about it will be extraordinary, all wise. Not just because I want a name for myself, not at all. Because I have found out that when you follow the natural course of things, time will cheat you, men will cheat you, systems will cheat you. You need to have an advantage that is beyond the natural course. Are we together? It's good to follow the laws of prosperity, I have taught you. But following only the natural laws of prosperity, save Johnny, you will see when God will bless you, or you will see when you will be empowered in this wicked and evil world. When you are one law to break through, an evil man will reverse you back to start again. More than compliance with the laws, they are there and they are important, I've taught you. But there has to be an engraving that can pick you on the wings of the Spirit. Remember that the unit of destiny is time. That's why God brought possibilities like speed, like restoration. These are forces that insist and ensure that you live a victorious life. Are we learning now? In Acts chapter 7 and verse 22, let's look at two scriptures very quickly. Acts chapter 7 and verse 22. Media, please help us. The Bible says, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. Look at such a man. Do you know what that meant? Even though he was not an Egyptian, he did not have the history. There was a supernatural engraving upon him. He learned the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was mighty both in words and in deeds. They were preparing Moses already. The level of excellence from his life, he was inevitably going to be the next Pharaoh. That's why when he returned, you see, as at the time Moses returned back to Egypt, the Pharaoh he left had died. It was his son Ramesses who was his friend. That was why when Moses looked at him and said, Pharaoh, I'm sure Ramesses would look at him and say, dear brother, good to see you after over 40 years. The only difference is that you have returned back stupid. You were wiser when you left. You've forgotten that this is Egypt. You come and stand looking like a fugitive with a staff and tell me some deity you met in the forest said I should come and release these people who have been in captivity for 430 years. Moses, you have the wisdom of the Egyptians. And he said, all right, I'm not here for a long story. Let the rods. I told you that they are also preachers. I finished my preaching. Let the rod start his own sermon. And when he threw the rod, it became a serpent. I can imagine Pharaoh laughing and saying, you still remember? And he called Jannes and Jambres, the wizards of Egypt. And they came and made caricature of the rod of Moses. They threw Pharaoh's rod. It also became a serpent. And God use that. Most of you have not discerned the sermon of the rods. Those rods preached a message that you need to understand. You have heard the sermon of men, but understand the sermon of the rods. Do you know what happened? The rod that became a serpent ate that of the man and did not increase in size, and he picked it up. That is a sermon. Dominion over time and matter is real dominion. God was saying something there. Oh, but I'm not impressed enough. And then one plague after another. You can see that Pharaoh was not a normal human being. You can see the Luciferian manifestation. This is why some of you need to pray for your children. You flog them, they come back and see misbehave. They come out of jail. They come out of the prison cell. Will you do it again? No. 2 days, they are back again. It's not normal. That determination is not a human determination. It came from, it's an antichrist spirit empowering people like that. There are people when they are going back to prison, they don't even ask them any questions. They just say, just pass, go back. Just go register your name, change your clothes, and go in there. Can I tell you this? Creation is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. The sons of God are not here to repeat science. Science is an advantage. But believe me, God didn't take us this far to just come and be scientific. I guarantee you, it doesn't take fasting to be scientific. It doesn't take Bible study to be scientific. What we are manifesting is higher than science. He did not just bring us to just do sociology or to do all of... No. There will be a spectacular display before Jesus Christ comes. The manifestation of a godlike dimension of power and grace in and through the saints. It has been written so that it will not be changed. The Bible. We will begin to see people manifest dimensions of intelligence. I like to study a lot about the world and all of that. I like to study about UFOs, aliens. For some reason, I find those things interesting. Since I don't watch movies and all of that, I now focus on those things. And I read some of the ancient science. That, you know, they tell us we are not alone. You know, there are all kinds of people around the world. These ones, these species of people. And then I just read up all those things. And in my mind, I said, no wonder human beings behave the way they behave. There is a minimal level of wickedness that a normal human being should have. When your wickedness stretches beyond that border, it's not you again. It's you and another spirit. Is that true? No matter how wicked men are, there is a limit. When your wickedness stretches beyond a certain threshold, you are empowered by a spirit. The same way, human beings cannot love and be kind beyond a certain threshold. When you move past that threshold, you are not alone too. There has to be a spirit empowering you. We need to be supernatural people. You see, our world today, and I don't mean to cause trouble across the body of Christ, but we have to be careful. There is a gradual exaltation of philosophies and science above the supernatural. Why? Because a lot of people just believe that societies and territories have been changed through their reception of science. We're not against that. But let me tell you sincerely, this faith work that we are part of, it came by a supernatural means. It is sustained by a supernatural means. Find out how we are going to leave the earth. It's not scientific. What is the skyscraper that will take us to heaven? With one last, that blast of a trumpet, those who are dead in Christ will rise. Explain the name of the scientific process that gives them new bodies immediately. What is it called? Explain the name of the scientific process that suddenly withdraws gravity. And we who are alive and shouting the name of Jesus will be on our way going. And those who are laughing at us will wave them and say, I told you, I gave you a chance. Explain the name of that scientific process. Am I against science? Not at all. But let us be careful. Because the flesh realm, including science, is Satan's domain. He does not want you to rise or see reality beyond the three-dimensional plane. Because provided you are under the influence of the three-dimensional realm, you are in Satan's domain. He can manipulate systems and structures. He can play around with your mind and destroy your destiny. But when you rise to that realm and that plane, your life becomes extraordinary. We have so many doctors in this ministry. There are many professionals. It is not unusual that if someone is sick, the natural course is to administer a treatment, and that is wonderful. But what if the doctor is not there? And that person may not have the chance to see the doctor. Is there a possibility of administering something powerful? Who taught the doctor that you can stand before a tree and pick a leaf and process it in a lab and it becomes an injection and you put it in someone? Even the doctors depend on the supernatural for treatment. The injection does not get to your heart. When they put that injection, wherever it enters your body, they leave the rest.
Do you not know that every other thing that happens is a miracle? I read a bit about the human body and I'm surprised at the many activities that happen in the human body. Do you know when a human being is sleeping, science tells us and medicine tells us, do you know how many activities in your body shut down just because you are sleeping? That means if, as you are awake looking at me now, you may think it's just your heart and maybe your brain that is working. Think again. If you know the it's almost like a riot in your body. All the things, the cells working, if you don't understand, they repeat it again. This body is as busy as anything. And yet there is an invisible hand that keeps it. Every time I'm in the air, I think about a lot of things if I'm not sleeping. And one of the things I think about is the miracle of a material body that was created from metals, runs and then leaps. And now we are above the clouds and we are under the mercy of the Creator. I'm not talking about the dexterity of the plane moving. I'm saying literally for 50 minutes or 5 hours or whatever hours, you are under the mercy of the Creator. Do you know that if that plane goes down, there is no amount of... You can see the limitation. Flying helps me to know where science ends. The moment they lift, science says, I've tried. Whatever you believe, let it continue with you. When you are coming down, come down to my realm. I will pick it up from where I'm limited and land you safely. And the plane is moving. And I'm sure that God watches in heaven. And he's just saying, oh dear. These people do not even know who is flying them. It's not like they met him to verify whether he's drunk, whether he's all right, whether he fought with his wife, whether he's under a psychological problem. You just know that the owner of the plane gave the man the access, and you now had your confidence to sit down there. Why wouldn't I trust God? Listen, I travel a lot, and if I can place my destiny in the hands of an airline, God bless them. A number of them are my people. God bless you. I'm not speaking against them. Literally, when we are flying in the night, I don't know where we are. I don't know where we believe everything they tell us. And yet these are human beings that can make mistakes. Nobody ever says, verify that we are, how are you sure we are safe? And yet the Creator of the ends of the earth, when he now beckons that we trust him, we bring all kinds of flimsy reasons and say, God, before I take this step, prove to me. Yet we jump into the plane and sit down quietly. I'm using flight because almost everybody here, or many of us here, are maybe frequent flyers in some way. Just see what you do every day and every time. What of the driver that drives you? You've been hearing that they are kidnapping, yet you are still going to travel tomorrow. You will think that will make you afraid. You will still go and come back. The longest sea journey I've had was 1 hour, 20 minutes or so. I made up my mind that I won't repeat that again. Again. Not from the riverine area. I've made my contribution. As far as my experience is concerned, my goodness, let me tell you, when you are, and these are military people carrying me, they are not amateurs. Just said, Lord, well, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I die, the only thing is that I didn't finish my assignment, but at least. Are we blessed? We need to tap into supernatural dimensions of the power of God. Everything that is natural has a supernatural expression. I repeat, everything that is natural has a supernatural expression. When you go to the market
and you meet a trader, you say, I want to buy a wrapper. They will ask you original or what's the other, original or maybe imitation, depending on whatever money you have. There is one that looks like it, but it's not it. There is one that is really it. Everything that is natural is like that imitation. There is an original. The Bible says everything that appears, Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1 and 3, that it came from a realm that is unseen. Hear me. There is a natural cause of prosperity, but there is supernatural prosperity. There is a natural medical cause of healing, but there is supernatural healing. There is a natural cause for growth, but there is supernatural growth. The choice is yours. They both have their consequences. If you choose to live a natural life, there are many, many, many things that you will be limited. You will not be able to do many things. But you can choose to command the supernatural even in your life. Are we blessed? So the supernatural grants you empowerment to subdue the forces fighting against your destiny and against kingdom advance. And then it empowers you to rise to a dimension where you command supernatural possibilities. Luke chapter 1 from verse 30 to 36. Luke chapter 1, very quickly please. Luke chapter 1 from verse 30 to 36. Need to run through a few things very quickly, so we'll pray. Luke chapter 1 from verse 30. Now this is Mary. And the angel said unto her, Mary, now fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. We are reading to 36. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, Mary said to the angel, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? You know what Mary is saying? Mary is saying, listen, it would have been believable if there is a process, a natural course of how things should be from a biological angle. But there is a deficiency here. How will it happen? Because I didn't hear you mention a man. It is possible that God will speak to you. And the natural formula for that result, he will not mention it. Don't forget that it is God who is speaking. Are we together? Yes. The natural course was to wait for the angel to stir the water, and whoever jumps in first. But when Jesus came, Jesus would have said, I empower you with wisdom and the prophetic to know when an angel is going to come so that you will jump before the rest. Jesus said, listen, I don't negate the rule, but I can change it because I am God. If you prosper in 1 year naturally, chances are excellent that you may be a thief or a fraudster, you know, all these kinds of things, because you should be able to build with dignity and honor. Are we together now? But God can come to you and say, because of the cry of your mother and the burden of 10 of your siblings, allowing you to go through the natural course of life, investing slowly, gradually receiving 10% every year until you are 10 years. By the time that will happen, your parents would have gone, and you may not have the opportunity for that prophetic word I gave them. So there is something I'm going to do in your life that in 1 year. Now, when it happens, you will not go around telling people, don't follow the natural course of growth. That will be erroneous. But you will know that your life was an exemption. Are we together? And the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. When you want to go from one place to the other, if you have a boat or a camel or a donkey, you use it. But in this case, the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and another rule was created to him. Do you know why I'm telling you this? Keep learning the laws of the kingdom. Keep learning the laws of life. But don't be surprised when an invisible hand picks you and moves you beyond the natural sequence of things. I believe this. I believe in diligence. I will always teach diligence. Are we together?
But like I would always share, there are times that your boat is fine. There are times your fishing net is fine, oh Peter. There are times you are in the sea, but you will still not catch fish. That is not an issue of laziness. The fish didn't come. It's no longer your fault. At that point, you don't need skills again. You need the one who created the fish to gravitate them towards you and say, cast your net to its right side. And in a moment, you will catch fish that your boat will begin to sink. Hallelujah. It is natural for you to start a business and then look for customers, build a clientele gradually through integrity, trustworthiness, and after 5 years you would have gained experience, made your mistakes, failed, cried, prayed on God, sown seeds, and then you stabilize. But God can decide in 1 year somebody can call you and mentor you and say you will be the African distributor of this product, just like that. And you are putting your hand on your head. Is it not in your Bible that when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, he said we were like them that dream? What kind of miracle will make unbelievers join in the testimony? Hear me, believers. Let us maintain the natural course of things based on the laws of life. I am not teaching you to ignore the laws of life. But woe betide anybody who laughs at the possibility of a dimension higher than science, higher than sociology. This is my problem with intelligent people and secular humanists. They negate the fact that there is a God in heaven and there is a possibility to tap into that infinite power. Go to the village and they will tell you there is a natural cause. There is a way you can plant crops and everything will grow. But there is a way you can have an accelerated harvest. Do you want it? When you say yes, they will not say go and stand in the farm. They will say, go and meet a man. There is something he will give you. There is a natural course of politics. You can vote, you can campaign, you can talk to people, they can help you, you can grow, you can build. But there is, we have seen it in this nation, where God picked people. You know this one, it was God that lifted them. Hallelujah. I heard of somebody, true story, who bought a property. It was worth some millions of naira. This guy brought a property. It was not up to 2 weeks. There was a company that wanted that property, but they were going through a protocol to meet the owner. And quickly some money came for that guy. And he bought that property from the former owner. And they suddenly called him that there is a company that wants to buy it. It was almost 10 times the amount. This boy stood in shock. They were desperate for that land. The owner that sold it to him wanted to make trouble and say return. He said, no, we finished our transaction. This is between me and these people. I mean it, I'm not exact. If I'm joking, I'll tell you I'm joking. That was how this guy's life changed overnight. Many people suspected him of fraud. He said, I'm not a fraudster. It was just the favor of God. Now, the balance in church is that because of teachings like this, many believers become irresponsible. You see that? They negate the natural course of things. And they say, since there is favor, since there is speed, why should I be diligent? Why should I build on relationships? I'm not teaching you to ignore these laws. But I'm teaching you that in addition, let it be at the back of your mind. You can produce posters as a man of God. You can produce handbills, billboards. You can invite people, do evangelism. But you know like I know, that there is a limit. You can do the best that you can do, and someone can just frown and say, pastors who eat people's money, wicked people. That's the comment they will give. But there is a grace that can come upon you and can compel all and sundry to come and see what Jesus is doing. This one is not charm. This one is not whatever it is. It is the hand of God. Find out what was on Jesus that made 5,000 people to climb a mountain with him and stay there. Must I climb a mountain to hear him? Is someone learning now? Please let me have your attention. Do you know why I'm happy for you? Because what is coming on you this night you will marvel and wonder at what begins to happen in your life. Everything you have seen natural, believe me when I tell you, you are about to experience the extraordinary dimension of the same thing. And I hope you believe what I'm saying. Please sit down. Let me give you very quickly three keys, and then very quickly we'll discuss how to receive the anointing, and then we'll pray. Pay attention now. In Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, let's rush. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying to Zerubbabel now, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, and it applies to us. He said, not by might, nor by power, human power now and strength, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. There are certain results that happens by the spirit and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Micah chapter 3 and verse 8. Everyone please read. The first sentence will end at Lord. Ready? One to read. But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. Truly, I am full of power to do ministry. I am full of power to do business. I am full of power for governance and politics. I am full of power as a prayer warrior. Power as a prophet. Power as an apostle. Power as a kingdom financier. Truly, I am full of power. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. Truly, I am full of power. Luke chapter 4, please. Let's just go to verse 14 for sake of time. Maybe 13 and 14. This was the temptation of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Read 14 with me if you desire this. Ready? One to read. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went about a fame of him through all the region round about. It takes power to gain visibility. You can be sincere, you can have a message, but it takes power for your generation to hear you. Many of us, it is this empowerment part. Remember, I've taught you that the greatest need of an unsaved person, the greatest need of an unbeliever is what? Salvation. The greatest need of a saved believer is transformation. And that's through the ministry of the Spirit and the ministry of the Word. But the greatest need of a transformed believer is empowerment. For many of us, I give it to you that you have experienced a dimension of commendable transformation. But you need the grace to defend the things you know. In this kingdom, we not only hear, we hear and see. Is that true? Acts chapter 8 from verse 5. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them, the Bible says. Verse 6, the Bible says, and the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing. In this kingdom, we don't hear alone. God can lift. God can bless. God can change stories. We need to see. You both hear and see. For some of you, people have only heard of what God can do through you. In this season, they will begin to see it. Very quickly, I'm not going to explain it. I'll just give it out very quickly because there's something I want us to press on. There are four keys. Four keys that are responsible for spiritual empowerment. You want to encounter the anointing? There are four keys. Four demands. And then I will now teach you how to receive. Are you ready? Number one, consecration and intimacy with God. The first requirement, if it is genuine power you want, the power of consecration and intimacy with God. 1 John chapter 2, please. from verse 15. Please hurry up, hurry up. First John. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Can you imagine that to receive the power that gives you everything, you need to lose the passion for everything that is in the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, look at this kind of, look at this thing now. It says, love not the world. It's the word eros. Many theologians and many people have mistaken this to mean, don't love prosperity, don't love increase. That's not what the Bible is teaching. The word love is the word eros. That means an ungodly affinity, an attachment towards things that takes the place of Christ in your life. Are you getting the point now? God is not against us prospering. God is not against us having influence. What He is against is exalting those things and having an obsession that it dethrones Christ in your life. Any kind of money that Jesus must be dethroned for you to have it is useless. Any kind of lifting that Jesus must be dethroned for you to have it is useless. Anything God gives, Satan will try to give it to you too. But the condition is bow down and worship me. That was what he brought to Jesus. The three Hebrew boys, remember, Satan is obsessed with worship, transgenerational allegiance. Do you know the reason why God cannot trust many people with his anointing is because they are not set apart to look beyond themselves and to see Jesus lifted. I think it was in Lagos or so, I was teaching, was it yesterday now or day before yesterday? And I was telling them, I said, you know, not every closed door is demonic. There are certain doors is God that closed it by himself as an act of his mercy, because he has weighed you and found out that if that door is opened, the existence of the flesh within you, there are people, no matter how they fast and pray for the prophetic, they will not receive that grace. Do you know why? Because if you actually receive the creative dimension of the prophetic, in anger, you will curse and kill people because you are angry. You will kill more dead bodies. You will be cooperating with Satan because of anger. So God will rather withdraw it until that intimacy with the Holy Spirit and that transformation is there. There are many people, including preachers, there are certain anointings, if God gives you today, you will not pray again. Why will you pray? When people will travel from several nations and will pay everything to come and meet the great man of God, Apostle Joshua Selman. What do you need prayer for again? What do you need fasting for again? Can I tell you this? If it is the anointing you want to receive, it's more than your money. You can drop your seed and God says, nonsense, carry your money and go away. It is your heart I'm looking for. Prayer and fasting is important. But let me tell you, before your prayer and fasting will make sense and have value in the spirit, your heart condition must be right. The desire and the desperation to see Jesus revealed and glorified in your life. Do you know? You always hear me give this example. Imagine that God opens your eyes to the prophetic and a millionaire or a billionaire, billionaires are all over your church or your ministry. You literally can look at them and God opens your eyes and you see what they have in their account. You've already bought sharp sand to build your house and you are limited. There's no money. You've calculated everything. Your engineer has told you 300 million will build a solid structure for you. And the people trust you. That's when you will know whether you are saved or not. Because one spectacular prophetic word. And see, human beings, when they trust you, they become vulnerable to you sincerely. You can tell someone, look, you have 1,250,000. Ah, yes, that's true. Oh yeah, the other part, I won't touch the 1 billion, but that other slice. Give on to Caesar what you can twist anything. And just because you are talking and the person is falling while you are talking, does not mean it is God that is behind it. You see, I told you that you can misuse the anointing. There is a level of charismatism that the anointing brings. There is an aura. It's a fragrance. It can attract everything to you. That is the reason why people have to be dead to self. Are we together? Consecration and intimacy. Proverbs 23 and verse 26. This has become an anthem in my life, and I'm praying that someone will finally get that revelation. Please look up. My son, give me mine, give me thine. Many people are giving God offerings. Many people are giving God pulpit. God does not want your pulpit. He's not looking for your offering, your tithe. All of those things are secondary. Let me tell you sincerely, if you want power with God, koinonia, hear me. What God wants is your heart. I can tell you by the authority of scripture, by the privilege of learning from the fathers, and by my own experience, if you are genuinely anointed of God, there is almost a godlike worship that people can bring around you because of the all-surpassing manifestation of the excellency of God in your life. Even you, sometimes you will look at yourself and say, my God, who am I? I know what the anointing can do. Believe me. And if you are not broken before God, and especially our generation of ministers, small grace here, small anointing, and that's it. You see people misbehaving all around with the anointing. Small prophetic, small apostolic, and all kinds of things. And God just withdraws the more he wants to give you. Because when God tests you with it, you are rude, you are lawless, you are indisciplined, you are rebellious, you don't have any regard for authority. God says, no. This little we've given this guy, let's leave it there. If we multiply this anointing, you will kill everybody. It means people will start kneeling down, lick your shoe, worship you, call you King of Kings, then they will receive healing and go. Another person will do that kind of thing. Go and read the stories of people, I'm not being sarcastic, who did not allow God to work on their hearts. Preachers, let me encourage you, co-laborers in the gospel, let's be careful how we impart graces on people. Just because people are committed and their hearts are open does not mean they are prepared. Let God vet them so that you do not anoint people who will be a casualty to you and others. History has taught us a lesson. Anointing people unprepared will always lead to casualty. We are all students in the school of the spirit, don't get me wrong. It's like carrying your car and giving your 12 or 13 year old child. The way children are brilliant now, one can even drive with his eyes closed. Children have mastered the art of surprising everybody. But the chances are excellent that that child, he will most likely be the only one with that car among his contemporaries. And his pride, not incompetence, that will kill that child. Do you know what it means to carry the grace that grants you access to the destinies, the loyalty, the finances of people? It was our father in the Lord, Baba Adeboye, who made a statement one time. And he said, by the grace of God, if he needs a shirt today, by the privilege of the influence God has given him, he can make one statement and say, brethren, I need a shirt. And he said, literally without exaggeration, his size can finish in the market. Because everyone will want to go on. Do you know what it means to have that level of influence? Don't tell me I will be fine. Are you seeing why God works on our hearts? You can speak to someone and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, may the Lord lift you. And in 2 weeks, he comes back, he has become a billionaire. And the person comes to you as a billionaire and say, man of God, I'm still your boy. Oh, good news to the ear of a preacher. A billionaire is your boy. Are you learning tonight? While you are laughing, please make sure you understand what I'm saying. God demands death to the flesh if you must carry genuine power. Billionaire is your boy and can say, sir, it looks like you are not happy. Is there any problem? What can I do for you? And Satan comes to stand by you and says, is this how you are going to allow? Remember your childhood. Remember how you suffered. Now is your chance.
and yet the Spirit of God tells you, do not touch one naira from that man. Rather, sow into his life and bless him. And you say, I reject that spirit. That the spirit that is not an economist, to use your brain and know that this will flow from, I mean... Can you be so anointed that God places you in the midst of greatness and you still have self-control? There are many wealthy people today who run away from churches, respectfully speaking, because they won't let them rest. Once the preacher is preaching, he's looking at everybody, but they know who he's talking to. And the people say, please, it's not a cause to be blessed. That's why most people don't testify. Because they know it's a risk. Oh, this is what God has done. We just floated two aircrafts, one estate and all of that, and the preacher is clapping. And the man knows exactly what that clap means. See, I made a vow and a covenant that by the privilege of God's grace, I'm not saying it by the strength of the flesh, this ministry will never inconvenience anybody because of tea and bread. If God will not provide the wisdom to fund this assignment, I will honorably go back home and sit down. It's better to sit down and not do ministry but have your integrity. Are we together now? Consecration and intimacy with God. Number two, what is the second key that governs the manifestation of the anointing in your life? Honor to the word of God. If you do not live by the principles of the kingdom, honor to the word of God. If you do not live by the principles of the kingdom, you will never access the anointing. Please write it very quickly. Honor to the word of God. In Proverbs 23, verse 22, the B part where we just read, he said, my son, give me thine heart. Proverbs 23:26, it says, and let your ears, your eyes observe my ways. John chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, and without him, the word, all things were made by the word. And without him, the word was not anything made that was made. Are we together? Even the power of God hides in his word. Habakkuk chapter 3. It's become an anthem here too. Habakkuk chapter 3. We'll start from verse 3 and 4. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. Verse 4. I wish we could have verse 4 in Amplified. Otherwise, no problem. It says, and his brightness was as the light. It says, rays streamed from his hand. And there, in that sun-like splendor, was the hiding place of his power. There is a relationship between the word of God and the power of God. The second key is honor to the word of God. I submit to you that I have a problem with people who manifest power and I cannot see in their lives honor for the word of God and the principles of the kingdom. If you manifest power and you do not have honor for the word of God, you deserve to be suspected. Are we together? Because it's like seeing somebody with a child who you never saw pregnancy. Are we together? Your stomach was as flat as my own now, and then immediately you just drag a child. No, we have a right to say, whose child is this? And it's not maybe surrogacy or anything. You say, it's my child, I was pregnant. We need to examine that kind of pregnancy. That's how the word is on miracles, on the supernatural. If you do not have honor to the word of God, we look at your life and we do not see that you understand the word of God. Believe me, do not blame people if they suspect the manifestations that come through your life. The word of God gives credence to the outworkings of his power in your life. Are we together? Number three. What is the third key that controls spiritual empowerment? Prayer with fasting. For me, it's not just prayer and fasting. It is prayer with fasting. The emphasis is prayer. The fasting is an accelerator. Prayer with fasting.
Luke chapter 4, very quickly, we'll look at verse 1 and 2, then we'll go to 14 and 15. Luke chapter 4, 1 and 2. The Bible talks about Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. So he was full of the Holy Ghost. He returned from Jordan and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 2, it says, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And the Bible says, in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he was afterwards hungry. Let's jump for the sake of time to verse 14. You know his temptation, the three temptations and all of that. And the Bible says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went about a fame all the regions round about. 15. It says, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. If you want to walk in genuine spiritual power, the facilitator of the anointing is prayer with fasting. There is nobody I know who genuinely commands the supernatural who is not a student of prayer with fasting. There are wrong fasts. There are religious prayers and fasting that does not carry any power. It's just a show of religiosity with no, it's just for health benefits. But there is the kind of fast God has commanded. And then according to James chapter 5, there is the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man that avails much. It has tremendous power. Dynamic in his working, Amplified says. Write for reference, James 5 from verse 13 to 18. James 5, 13 to 18. Are we together? The last now. The last key. Are you ready? The last key is impartation. Impartation. You want to access spiritual empowerment. You want to access the anointing. You need impartation. What is impartation? A system of transference of spiritual possibilities. Impartation is a way to transfer the power of God, to transfer the possibilities that are in the Christ through the Holy Spirit to you. Now, here's where I want you to pay attention because we're wrapping up now. Commanding the supernatural, part two. We're examining the dynamics of the anointing, the necessity for the anointing. There are two principal platforms for impartation. I want you to learn this now. There are two principal platforms for impartation. Number one, you can have an impartation directly from God. Impartation directly from God. An example of this we see is 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 3. When we begin our reading from verse 3, 1 Kings chapter 3, from verse 3 down to 13, write it for reference, please. 1 Kings 3, from verse 3 to 13, this was an encounter that Solomon had with God. He received the impartation of the grace and the anointing for understanding and wisdom directly from God. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. The king went to Gibeon and sacrificed there. And he offered the sacrifice upon the altar, verse 5. The Bible says, God came to Solomon. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast shown unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness. Thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. What a good introduction. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or how to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge these thy great people? Every legal practitioner should pray this prayer. Hearing is a secret to excel in your legal practice. This man is praying and saying, I need to judge people. I need grace from you. Because these people are great. The complications around their lives. I need an anointing more than just my technical know-how. The Bible says, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. Almost there. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life. Do you know that there are graces controlling this? Long life, or ask riches, or ask the life of your enemies, but you have asked understanding to discern judgment. Here's what God gave him. Behold, I have done according to thy words. I have given thee. Who gave him? God, directly. I've given you a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any rise like unto you. Last verse. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches. How do you give riches? Did he give him money? So what exactly is riches? God is saying, I'm giving you something now. I'm giving you riches. I'm giving you honor. So that there shall not be any among the kings like unto you all thy days. Solomon woke up in the morning and supernatural manifestation of wisdom. With wisdom came wealth and every other thing. You can receive directly from God. Number two, what is the second platform for receiving impartation? Impartation can come as impartation from the carriers of the anointing. Or the second way you can receive the anointing now is impartation from the carriers of the anointing. It is true that there are men that carry this anointing. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 9, the parable of the 10 virgins. Remember the foolishness of the 5 virgins. They were all virgins. So it was not about the issue of being in the fold or not being in the fold. Their foolishness was because they did not know how to access the anointing. Here was the recommendation given to them. The wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us. He says, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy. When it has to do with the anointing, there are those who sell. The word sell there does not just mean, it means exchange. There are custodians of the anointing. He says, if you want the anointing, go to them that sell and buy. How do you buy it? You buy with honor. You buy with meekness. These are currencies. Every dimension of anointing you need in your life today, believe me, there are vessels that carry it bodily right now. Under a certain condition, it can flow freely to you. There are three conditions that you must satisfy if you must receive the anointing from carriers. Number one is called genuine connection or genuine followership. The first condition, you want to receive the anointing from a genuine carrier of it. You need genuine heart-to-heart connection. Genuine followership. As we see in the case of Elijah and Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 2 from verse 1 to 15, just write it for reference. 2 Kings chapter 2 from verse 1 to 15. So three conditions if you want to receive impartation from a vessel that has been trusted by God. Number one is genuine connection. Number two, honor. I've taught you here that honor is the key for access. Honor. What is honor?
the discerning, the celebrating, and if need be, the rewarding of people for their uniqueness. Genuine connection, condition number one. Honor, condition number two. Number three, service. Service is a jackpot gateway into the anointing. Now, let's look at a few instances of impartation and then we'll be ready to pray. Numbers chapter 11. We'll read 16 and 17, then we'll go to 24 and 25. This was Moses now. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people. Notice those who were qualified for the impartation. He did not gather children and lay hands on them. An elder is one who has an advantage of knowledge and if need be experience. I'm not saying God cannot anoint children, but this is just to draw a lesson from it. People who have been worked upon, prepared, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand here with thee. 17. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. This is what God does not want. This already cancels away this obsession for superstar Christianity, where just one person carries the anointing. When you see most men of God stand like superstars, they really don't want to be superstars. It's because most people have not paid the price to be partakers of that grace indeed. You're not going to receive an anointing from a man of God with pride and carelessness and lack of discernment. Everybody who carries anything from God knows that it is the grace of God. But believe me, there was a price behind it. And nobody would throw away anything valuable just on the floor. Are we together? But then sadly, there are other people who enjoy that obsession and would never give people a chance to partake of that grace. Isaiah 9:8, remember, when he sent a word to Jacob, it lighted upon Israel. That means every time God anoints one person, it is not just to remain with you. You should be a distribution channel so that many other people can partake of that grace. Let's go back to our scripture where we were reading. Numbers 11, 24 and 25. We have to rush. Numbers 11, 24 and 25. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men and the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. Verse 25. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto them, and took of the spirit that was upon him, and gave it to the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. When the spirit rested upon them, they prospered. When the Spirit rested upon them, they became wise. If the Spirit rests upon you, something must happen. It is impossible. The Spirit there means the grace. The grace cannot come upon you and you remain the same. It's impossible. When the Spirit rested, the Bible didn't say when the Spirit came. To rest means you have found a habitation. The anointing can come, but it may not rest. The performance happens for those who allow the anointing to rest. Genuine connection, honor, and service. Last scripture. Numbers chapter 27, from verse 18 and to 20.
Yahweh, oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, Yahweh. Let your kingdom come,
Let your will be done, Yahweh. Yahweh.
Let the kingdom come.
Let your kingdom
come. Let your will be done, Yahweh.
Yahweh.
Hear me. We have gotten to the crescendo of this service and I want you to be sensitive. Believe me when I tell you, you have come for this service to receive something tonight. Numbers chapter 27. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom the Spirit is already on, but there are dimensions that are not yet there. Lay thy hands upon him. 19. And set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and give him a charge in their sight. Verse 20. And thou shalt put some of your honor. You see that honor is a grace. It is transferable. Put some of your honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel might be obedient. If that grace is not on you as a leader, nobody will listen to you. You can be as disciplined as anything, but if that grace is not on you, you will be surprised that your words will fall on deaf ears. Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 9. Let's read together. Are we ready? Inside, outside, everywhere. If you can see it, let's read. One, two, read. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him. And did as the Lord commanded Moses. Listen. I can tell you, at every point and at every junction in my life, when, what grace and what dimension came to my life. I didn't start ministry with every anointing and every grace that is now in my life. And by the end of this year, I will not be at this level, both with the anointing that is upon me and more to come. Can I tell you this? Believe me when I tell you, I understand a bit about the anointing. I'm not bragging, but believe me, this is my call. I know what I'm saying. When it has to do with matters of the presence of God and the anointing, I'm not giving you an opinion. This is an office. I have met many men of God in my life. I've had the honor to meet a few of people who learned and received impartations from God's generals. I've been to almost every major campground in this nation. I've had the honor and the privilege of meeting a few of the overseers. I've had the honor and the unique privilege of finding favor with the fathers of faith in this nation. They have prayed for me. I have spoken with many of them at a personal level. They have poured in from their spirits. The man talking to you is not naive. I have met Jesus. Help them, please. I've shared with you my encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking of an angel. I'm not talking of heaven. I'm talking of the King of Kings. I have seen him. It's one thing for him to just see me and say, well done, you have now seen me, you verify I'm Jesus, you go and preach. That's not what happened. There was a solid impartation. I've had several encounters. I've shared a few of them. I stopped sharing many of them because I do not want people to idolize these encounters and to use them as the template that if you don't have them, it means you are not spiritual. No. It's my passion and commitment to see Jesus glorified. But believe me, if I share with you some of my encounters that I've not told anybody, you may think I'm just telling lies. See, when you see certain dimensions of results, it should tell you It's impossible for us to be celebrating what God is doing today in this ministry without certain levels of grace.
There are thrones, there are kingdoms, there are mountains and there are thrones. Only Yeshua will reign forever. There are thrones,
I've shared with you my encounter with Jesus. I've shared with you many other encounters. Of all my encounters, the one that touches me the most is the one where I was given an instruction. And the Lord told me, He said, "Son, whatever nation and region I send you to, that same light that came from me to you, there must be someone in that meeting that same light will come to you." Help them, please. In one of these encounters, I'm standing and the Lord speaks to me and says, "Son, from today I give you my presence as a gift." And I see this angel standing before me and he said, "This angel will walk with you." I said, "What is his name?" He said, "He's the angel of the Lord's presence." And every time as I've traveled from nation to nation, from region to region, I am conscious of the fact that I'm not just going there to preach. I am going there to bring something from the invisible realm and to transmit it. I remember one time in this vision that I had, I was standing and there were so many people on a queue and I was giving them bread, but the bread was soaked with honey. And they would stand and receive the bread with honey and go back and join the queue again. And receiving again was not a problem. And I was wondering. And there was a machine. I was not the one making the bread. I was just receiving it. The machine will mix the bread and put the honey automatically. It just cuts it and I collect it and I keep giving them. And people were singing all kinds of songs. And the voice that was directing me said, "I should not be distracted by all that clapping. I should just focus on what I was doing." Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. I know that there are men of God who brag and talk about all kinds of things. I wish I were not the one saying this thing. But believe me, I have been shown the mercy of God. I know what it means to be a custodian of the grace of God. In Africa, we believe too late. We do not cherish the gifts that God gives us. It is either when they are gone or when the tenure of their relevance is over. That is when we look from hindsight. There are men of God, because of the dishonor that has come to the grace that they carry, they have created ungodly systems to make men have to worship them and beg for the anointing. It does not have to be so. But can I tell you sincerely, beloved, one of the reasons why God has sent this man standing before you is as a privileged one sent to a generation that if you believe and if your heart is open to receive, there are things, oh dear, there are treasures in the spirit that you can have. There are graces and superior unctions. Man of God, hear me. There are some of you. Your ministry is waiting for this anointing. Your family is. You can't do it by the strength of the flesh. You will try and try and be frustrated for nothing. When Elijah was going to impart upon Elijah, he said, you have asked a hard thing, but if you can see me, I have listed some of the graces at work in my life and in this ministry, opening our hearts for us to receive. Please look beyond me. This is a frail man. He cannot help you on his own. But behind this man, as frail as he looks, there is a mighty throne. There is a mighty God. We are going to pray. Please, even if you have never done it, for 1 minute, I want you to cry before the God of heaven. This is my season of encounter with unction. Lord, I open up my spirit. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Pray. Let a man so account of us, stewards of the mysteries of the kingdom. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Cry unto God. There are ministers who might be watching. There are business people. There are politicians. Hallelujah. Listen. Listen. I knew that I had an apostolic call upon my life. But I didn't know that I had the grace. This grace they call the kingmaker anointing. This is for politics and governance. I'm not saying it because I fear God. I'm not into politics. Go and read about Samuel. There are graces. You can literally enthrone people. That's why I told you in Koinonia, you don't invite people and say rich people come. You make them by the anointing. Can I tell you this? Please do not allow the devil to cheat you tonight. I know there are people who say, forget about this man of God. They are all proud people. They all talk nonsense. I beseech you by the mercies of God. You are not discerning, you will pay the price for nothing. Only Yeshua will reign forever. To his kingdom there will be no end. Hallelujah. I remember there was a year. This will be about the first time I'm making this kind of statement. There was a year that I had an audience with a particular politician somewhere. And I don't know what they told him about me. We had a nice time and he sat down. I'm not one who will go and start prophesying. I don't do that. It's not. I have an apostolic call. My focus is the edification of the body. And I looked at this man and he wanted to contest for something. And honestly, it is not pride, but in my mind I said, oh dear, if this man, it looked to me like Jesus at the well with the Samaritan woman. I said, oh dear. The hymn writer said, oh, what needless pain we bear. At the end of it, he was just speaking English. You know, sometimes these are wonderful politicians, can be proud people. They think every man of God is looking for money and all of that. And I was looking, he never requested for prayer. He never requested for anything. He was just making noise and I looked at him. And when he finished talking, I told him, I said, I'm sorry, sir, but I want to speak to you. And he was just making a jest and sarcasm, and I said, go and write it. You will win your primaries, but you will never win the election. And he was laughing because it was impossible based on what he wrote. I said, I know you have met men of God who prophesied and spoke because of monies that you gave them, but you will know that there are certain people who are remnants indeed. When this guy won the primaries, he was happy, very sarcastic statement and all of that. And when he lost the election, it was a shock. I remember I went to preach somewhere and They said, the man that was around wanted to see me. I said, please don't bring that person there. No. I don't hate him. I don't fight with anybody. But can I tell you, please don't generalize people. There are people God has honored. I'm saying this for a reason. There is human worship. It is wrong. There are men of God who make themselves Alpha and Omega. The Bible says to minister according to the measure of grace. If you have not been anointed to enthrone government and enthrone people and you are just making noise, the disappointment will make the people arrest you one day and lock you because the grace is not on you. But can I tell you, God's system of king, priest, prophet has not failed. There are still men that God has anointed. There are graces that can enthrone. This is not just for politicians. A man overnight, you can send one word. Was it not Elijah who said, by this time, you've heard the testimony. There's nothing in this ministry that is stage managed. I want you to pray that one prayer. What dimension do you see God lifting you? Pray that the grace and the unction that will make it happen. Just help those under the anointing. Please pray. Believe me, there are mighty angelic activities happening in this place now. Dimensions in ministry, dimensions in business, dimensions in governance.
Show us the ancient path. Will you lead us along eternal highway? We want to follow the ways of Jesus.
Please pray, please pray.
Show us the ancient path. Will you lead us along eternal highway? We want to follow the ways of Jesus.
I want to pray for you now. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet, I want to pray for you and I want you to believe what is coming upon you. You will command the supernatural. As many as we are here, so are our needs. And every dimension requires a grace. Therefore, I stand by the privilege of this election of grace. I stretch my hands from the north to the south. Parash Kadia. I'm telling you, I'm just in fire. This is what I'm seeing. At the count of three, the unction required for the next season of your life. In the name of Jesus, help them please. At the count of three, like fire from heaven, it will come upon you. 1, 2, 3. Take that grace now. Take that, help them please, my God. Take that grace now. Take that grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Take that grace now. Help that woman, please. Take that grace now. Superior anointing. Man of God, woman of God, I call for the apostolic. I call for the prophetic. I call for the evangelistic. Receive that grace. Take that unction in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for those in business. That grace of an entrepreneur. The grace that can subdue systems and structures and give you visibility. May that anointing rest upon you now. May that anointing rest upon you now. The anointing that brings speed into the life of a man. Acceleration is a possibility in this kingdom. Therefore, I stretch my hand. May that mantle rest upon you now.
speed in destiny, speed in your life. Help that woman, please. Speed in your life. I want to pray for you. There is an anointing for influence and visibility. You can do all you can and your generation will not know you are there. But there is an unction that can come upon you and cause your voice to be heard. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, and for those who are following and connecting by faith. For some of you, this anointing, you will literally feel something physically coming on you as I'm praying. In the name of the grace for visibility, right now, right now, may that unction come upon you. May that unction come upon you. May that grace come upon you. Let me pray for everyone here who is part of this spiritual family and you are into politics and governance. The grace that enthrones, in the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God, may that unction rest upon you right now. Marvelously rest upon you right now. Hear me. When it has to do with wealth and abundance, there are principles of productivity, value, exchange, increase, relationships, negotiations, and all these are valid financial principles. But there is a prophetic dimension to wealth. There is wealth that comes from heaven. It said by this time tomorrow. I want to pray for you, because for many people and many families, this is the area of engraving. Things have been tied in your life. I want you to believe it. Don't let the devil tell you that there is no prophetic dimension to wealth. And by a prophet, the Lord God brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet they were preserved. I pray for you. Everyone who is in Egypt financially, hear the word of the Lord. I prophesy to you, come out now. Come out now. Come out now. The eyes that has refused to see you and favor you, I open that eyes to see you. The hand that has refused to whoever is responsible for partnership with the Holy Ghost, for your rising, by reason of this unction, I declare your rising is confirmed now. Hallelujah. Hear me. There are many of us who desire to walk in signs and wonders. Genuine miracles. Not fake stage managed miracles. Genuine healings. Genuine deliverance. Genuine signs and wonders. Some of you are here, you are men of God. Some of you are here into missions, but it looks like there is no result. Some of you are even pastors, and in all honesty, you do not have consistent, predictable, ever-increasing results. By the privilege of the election of grace, I stretch my hands towards you. And I decree and declare, by the power that raised Christ from the dead, step into the realm of the miraculous now. The final impartation and we're done. See, believe me when I tell you, honor and favor are real. No matter how sincere you are, no matter what level of character and integrity you have, if you do not have the grace for honor,
and the grace for favor, you will not go far. Believe me when I tell you this. I want to pray that grace upon your life. It was a grace I pursued with hunger in my heart. And when it came, I knew it had come.
Take over. Take over. I have come to the end of my life. Take over. Jehovah. I have touched.
Something is happening in this place.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have come to the end of myself.
There is an anointing called the Esther anointing. It was in 2010. 2009-2010. God opened my eyes to this mystery of the Esther anointing. The grace that can pick you from Shushan and put you to sit in the palace. I stretch my hands right now. May that mantle for honor and favor that came upon Hadassah, may that grace rest upon you now. Take that grace now. Take that grace now. The grace that enthroned Haman will not stop you. In the name of Jesus Christ. From today, everything that represents shame, an embargo of shame and disappointment over your life, I tear it like a veil in the name of Jesus Christ. Hear me. For some of you, I prophesy to you, between now and Sunday, I stand by the God of heaven and I decree and declare, every day of this week will open you up to a new chapter of strange manifestation. Hear me. By reason of this grace you carry, there are battles you will not need to fight. The jealousy of God will arise and fight it for you. Where your father could not cross, where your mother could not cross, hear me, what limited your father, what limited your mother, what limited those who had gone ahead of you, I stand by the rod of the apostolic and the prophetic. I scatter it before you right now. I scatter it before you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody who has forgotten you, because there were demonic manipulations that took you away from their memory, they promised they will be there and help you, but as it is right now, you will pass them and it's as if they are not seeing you. Go back with this unction this night and watch the wonder working power of Jesus. Wave your hands to Jesus and give him praise. Wave it to the King of Kings. Wave it to Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Something has come upon your life. You are waving your hands and you are allowing the anointing rest. Oh, hallelujah, we give you praise. Our life will never be the same. Never be the same. It will be proof that you are a people God has helped and God has blessed. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now listen very carefully. Next week, there will be fire from heaven to the earth in this place. Hallelujah. Not only because it is our miracle service for the month of February. Please, any point of contact you have, your documents, court case issues, whatever has mocked God, this is not idolatry. Please, you can come with it as a point of contact, because I'm going to be praying on it. This is a year of marvelous life. There are some things that must end. Are we together now? Please be intentional about what I'm telling you. And then let me challenge you. In writing your prayer request, don't be careless. If you are a couple, for God's sake, you try this. Sit with your spouse or even your children and agree. What are we? Use the power of unity in writing your request and see what God will do. Most times we just stand, husband is doing his own wife. You can sit down with God. I know the things God has already spoken to me about it. And I'll be praying and preparing my spirit. There are some things that need to shift. Are we together? Please make sure none of your loved ones misses this miracle service. And for those who cannot come, insist that they connect. Their documents, whatever it is. You are having trouble in your place of work. It looks like doors are opening, or there are patterns in your life. And you are already seeing it happen again. Please write it down with faith in your heart. Your money is hanging somewhere. Your spiritual life is going down. Everything you put your hand to fail, write it down. Let's see the God that answers by fire. Listen, let me tell you, God is determined this year more than ever before to give us visitations if our hearts are truly open to receive. And for those of you who have traveled from several nations to come here, please take this fire by all means back to your regions in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Please, let's all stand for the altar call. We're a soul winning ministry, and we believe that every time we're gathered, there will always be someone who needs Jesus desperately. We're not ashamed of our love for Jesus. He is the basis and the reason for all that we do. We've spoken about commanding the supernatural, and oh, how we desire to see people encounter Jesus. You are here under the sound of my voice in the main auditorium, all the overflows outside and following from your homes, from your offices, and you're saying, Apostle, hearing you made me know again that I need Jesus with all my heart and with my everything. Or you are here, you are saying, Apostle, I love Jesus, but as it is, my life has gone haywire. I need to rededicate my life. Wherever you are, we're not going to waste time tonight. The Holy Ghost has already spoken to you. I'm going to count five. Please run like there's fire on the mountain. We're out of time. I want you to come before Jesus Christ. Once I count five, I'll begin the prayers. All the overflows everywhere, please run. One, let's celebrate them as they come. Run to Jesus. Let tonight be the beginning of a new season. Two, His ways are superior. Some of you are coming out for the sake of your destiny. In your salvation is the salvation of your family members. In your salvation is the salvation of your loved ones. Are you coming? Please rush. Three, okay, I'm told if you can, if you are not yet out, you can come with your bags and your Bibles. But if you are out, please, those who are close to them, protect their valuables so that we don't have people picking their things. Are you still coming? Apostle, I think I'm saved, but I'm not really sure. Join them quickly. There is such a thing as the assurance of salvation. Young and old, everyone, please come. Hallelujah. May God bless you, and I salute every one of you for making this noble decision. When it has to do with the matters of salvation, there is no shame, there is no age, there is no gender, there is no nothing. All it takes is hunger, genuine hunger for Jesus. Are we together? I salute you. It takes a lot of courage. It takes discernment to yield to the prompting of the Holy Spirit.
I'm still yet to do the last count. So if you are here and you still need to join them, let's make it fast. We're out of time. Join quickly so that we pray. Jesus said, ye must be born again. The new birth is the foundation for the believer's experience. Now please raise your right hand if you will. Those in front, please do same in all the overflows. And you who is lifting your hand in your home, your office, your church, wherever it is, or those who will be following by way of rebroadcast, it is an opportunity for you to make Jesus Lord of your life also. Say this after me. Let it be a truthful declaration from the depth of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again for my justification. Right now, I make Jesus Lord of my life. I make Jesus Savior of my soul. I make Jesus King of my life. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight and forever, I am a child of God. I am saved, washed by the blood of the Lamb. I go forward ever and backward never, and I enjoy the joy of salvation. Amen. Please keep your hands lifted. Father, thank you for these precious ones. You have brought them to be part of this fold, the family of faith. I thank you for the power that saves, the power that can save even unto the uttermost. By the authority of Scripture, I declare your sins forgiven, and I declare in the name of Jesus that the Lord gives you a new beginning from tonight. You begin to walk in the newness of life, and you walk in righteousness even forevermore. In the name of Jesus, you go forward ever and backward never. Welcome to a new spiritual adventure. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God. Amen and amen. Thank you very much. Now, very quickly, there are counselors waving their hands. They are waving the placard at you. I'd like you to please move in concert. They'll have a word or two with you and then you'll be back to your seat. Let's celebrate them as they go. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you so much for your patience. Let me reiterate the announcement that next week is our miracle service for the month of February. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We hope that by God's grace, God will do us good. Please do well to prepare your spirit. You can fast and pray. Prepare your heart. Come with your loved ones. Do the work of an evangelist. Invite everyone around the city. For all who are coming from outside this nation, may I please request that as much as possible, except if you're just coming on your own to be blessed, you can do well to reach our PR lines so that they can help you with all the logistics around your coming. They would link you up with the protocol also. Praise the name of the Lord. And let's do well to come on time so that we can start and trust God for a mighty manifestation of His presence. And please let me encourage, because of the volume of people and all of that, please cooperate with the ushers, the protocol, the security. It's usually really very overwhelming for them. So please cooperate with them. We'll do well to make sure that everyone is comfortable. And when they give any security instructions, please, it is for our own good. May I request that we do well to comply. Instructions from parking arrangements to the logistics of our sitting and all other things, please work with them so that God will help us in the name of Jesus. And then if any international guest or any delegate is coming through you, please do well to help them. Do not just allow them to be frustrated around the airport or just leave them to people here, you know. And let me say this, I know that there are people who help to facilitate things like hotel services and all of that. Provided you are doing what you are doing with integrity, that's fine. But please, let us not hear that you are scamming anybody. I'm not saying it just for you, but maybe people around us. Let's put a watchful eye on people to make sure that our guests do not have a nasty experience as they prepare to come. So any family that is hosting any international guest, please may I request, take responsibility
over their welfare and their stay. If you need any information, you can do well to reach our public relations department, and the Lord will bless you. I believe that it will be a wonderful time. The number is for our public relations department is on the screen. Please do well to have it. You can go to their desk. The help desk is just outside this auditorium. They would furnish you with the information for our protocol department and our security department. Then let me encourage us, please, do well to give people access, connect them to these teachings on our social media platforms, especially the YouTube page, Koinonia Global, so that they can listen, and then you listen yourself for the purpose of edification. Don't just share to people, but you too listen. I listen to all these teachings myself to be blessed, not just to hear what I said. I listen to receive and to be blessed. Let's be thorough students of knowledge, and the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Have you been blessed tonight? Please rise up on your feet as we share the grace. When we share the grace, do well to say hi to someone on your way out, and please be orderly so that you do not injure yourselves around the door and as we walk out. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, let it rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen. Surely, all the days of our lives, as we dwell in the house of the Lord, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you, and see you next week.
Believe you were mightily blessed. To connect with the ministry and get more from Apostle Joshua Selman, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Koinonia ENI to stream Koinonia Live.
Go to luceella.com/koinonia-radio and download the teachings on koinoniadownloads.org. For questions and inquiries, call 0814-721-4444 or 0907-777-7856. We love and celebrate you.